I'm Dr. Lee Merritt, once an orthopedic and spinal surgeon, and now a professional medical rebel. And I'm here with my cohort, Courtney Turner, from the Courtney Turner Podcast, and we are the Dangerous Dames. And today, for our April 15th, it's tax day, right? Well, not for everybody. So we have as a great guest today, Payman Motahedi from the Freedom Law School, and we are going to talk about the laws and the things regarding taxes and what a scam and the whole thing is. Anyway, and our sponsors today, one of them, I want to mention the Gold Bucks. We have these defythegrid.com. You can use the code DANGEROUS. And these are actually gold impregnated bills. And seven states are allowing these to be used and they're being produced. And these are, besides the fact they're just a neat piece of art, these actually have a differing amount of gold depending on the amount worth of the bill. And so my friend Robert Scott Bell gave me that $1 one, and he actually uses his at a hardware store in Utah. So this is my opinion, one of the ways out of the mess we're in. So defythegrid.com/dangerous. And then you're aware, of course, of our RNC, the RNC store. That's not the Republican National Committee, by the way. That is the Richardson Nutritional Center. And use the code DANGEROUS. It's RNC.com. And this is about B-17, which is the favorite, by the way, of G. Edward Griffin, who last year at the Red Pill, he gave a 45-minute talk with no notes. So I think there's living proof of something. Anyway, it's B-17 improves your immunity. That is your first line of defense against all sorts of things. And so we recommend the rncstore.com. You can get almonds. I don't know if they have the bars yet. I keep waiting for their excellent tasting bars, but you can get 10% at the checkoff if you use the code DANGEROUS. All righty. So thank you very much for joining us, and we'll bring in Courtney Turner. Thanks.
Hello. Yeah. We met at the Freedom Law School.
I know. And that is, this journey started when we met and she interviewed me at the Freedom Law School, and we've been friends ever since and just hanging out places and came up with the idea for this show. So this has been a lot of fun, and I'm excited today because this is tax day, and who better to have on as a guest than Payman Motahedi. And Payman has a lot of cool, besides the fact that he can tell you lots of things about taxes, he's also got kind of a cool history because he came from Iran and wonders why we are not having the freedom we should. So that's what he discovered when he got here. So anyway, yeah, he'll talk to you about how no law requires 98% of people to pay taxes. And yeah. I know that this is scary for people. And why is that? Because the deep state has convinced you a lot of things. As my friend James Grenvig said, whom we've had on, he says, we're being run by a 5,000 year, I think it's 10,000 year Sumerian death cult, and they project their power by narrative. And if you really look, the tax structure, the legal structure, all the stuff we have, it's being projected to us by narrative, and we really have to get out of that narrative and payments away.
I'm looking forward to having him answer some questions because I've just learned that apparently taxes go to a private trust in Puerto Rico. This private trust owns the IRS.
Right.
Does this make any sense?
Again, the whole thing has been run by narrative. It hasn't been, it's never been what we thought.
I mean, that is such a scam.
I just bought the book. Now I've got to call the bookstore because I only got the second volume, but it's a 2-volume book called The Law That Never Was. And it's about how these people went around to 48 states, because at the time the 16th Amendment was passed to tax the individual for federal income tax, which was prohibited, direct taxation of the people is prohibited constitutionally. Anyway, they went around.
They could get us into World War I.
Right. And so they went around and this is in the 60s or 70s, I think. They went around and they made the case and they went to court, but they couldn't have a federal judge to do anything. Yeah. And then finally, they said, we have to have proof. So they went around to 48 states and they looked up the evidence of ratification of the 16th Amendment. And the punchline is there isn't one.
Yeah.
But this is a 2-volume book that has all their documentation.
Wow. So,
antique book. You and I are into antique books. So.
Yeah, of course.
I should have brought that down with me and showed you. I got it's a huge book, the first, second volume, but I have to call them and say, hey, where's my first volume? I got to start at the beginning.
Start at the beginning. So, well, let's bring Payman on. I'm looking forward to learning here. How are you doing today?
Oh, now we can't hear you, Payment, at all. Happy tax day, Payment.
Thank you. Happy untax day to you as well.
That's right. That's what we're going to call it, the untax day.
So did you hear what I was saying? You know, I'm sure you know this, that apparently the taxes go to a private trust. It's trust number 62 that's out of Puerto Rico, and this owns the IRS. Have you heard this? I've seen the documentation. This is crazy.
You know, I hear a lot of things out there, and just like Dr. Lee Mayer told you a few minutes ago, people claim all kind of things. They got flying pigs and chickens that give milk. Until I see the proof, I don't believe none of that stuff. And the more outrageous it is, like a cow that lays eggs or chicken that gives milk, I don't believe it. So that's not true. Okay. We must verify anything before we believe it. Just because we hear it.
I haven't heard it. I can pull up the articles, but I'm totally open to them being false. That's why I'm asking.
It's false, Courtney.
Okay. So have you seen this documentation? I'll see if I can find it, but have you seen it?
True or false?
I've heard of the rumor, but there's no documentation because it does not exist. Mm-hmm. An article is proof of nothing. Mm-hmm. Anybody can write an article. Where is the documentation? Courtney, as you know, one of the things that sets us apart from other patriots is we rely on U.S. government's official legal websites. Mm-hmm. Not somebody says this, somebody said that, I heard this other thing, I read this article. All that is hearsay. We use a scientific method like Dr. Lee Merritt learned in medical school. Mm-hmm. Something.
Well, we thought we were.
You thought you were. It's got to be proven before you go to the next step. If it's not proven, you cannot rely on this.
Okay. Yeah.
But I will say it might be true. The problem is it also may not solve your tax issue.
Oh, no. I'm not saying that it would.
Right. What I'm saying. We have to separate out the things that it's like the 16th Amendment. People I know have tried to prove that in court and against paying taxes. That didn't help them. What you're going to talk about is what actually works. There's two different issues here. There's it's true that we are not a constitutional representative government anymore. That's just, obviously true. But the issue is, how do you deal with that? You have to have parts to deal with it. So we need to get the parts on. You know, when I heard you talk at Red Pill a few years ago is when I woke up and said, wait a minute, because you showed the law, the federal law.
Right.
Yeah. And we don't have that anymore, Lee, because we as American people have forgotten about it in the public school system. They don't teach us these things. They don't teach us that the Declaration of Independence, U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, mm-hmm. and the laws made underneath them all recognize that our rights come from our Creator. Mm-hmm. The only country on earth that I know of that clearly its founding documents say that our rights we're born with by given by a Creator, not some government or some dictator, is America. And people need to understand that is because based upon this structure of laws, the system is made. But if you don't know it, you're not going to assert. Yeah. Now, let me give another answer to the topic you talked about the 16th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. Mm-hmm. Bill Benson, who did the research and documentation of it not being ratified in 1980s, was a friend of mine since the mid-1990s. I knew him personally. We did seminars together. He spoke in my events. However, even though it wasn't ratified, the 16th Amendment is actually irrelevant because the Supreme Court said that the 16th Amendment gave Congress no new power of taxation. So with that understanding, how did they impose the scam? What they did is they used the power of the federal government to be independent in the District of Columbia and other lands and buildings it may acquire. They could do whatever they want in those lands in D.C. It was meant to be just a safe haven for the newly created federal government in the late 1700s. They taxed any income from that land, from D.C. and or its territories. But they didn't tell you that. When they use the term U.S. individual income tax, you say, oh, well, I'm a U.S. citizen. It's a tax on me as a citizen of one of the 50 states. When in actuality, it's a tax on the people of the District of Columbia. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't tell you in definitions, the Internal Revenue Code, United States means D.C. Can you guys give me my Internal Revenue Code so I can show everybody that, please? I'm going to show you in a minute we talk how they hit the definitions at the way back of the federal tax laws so no one looks at it.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to put that up. So
The big book. That's what, yeah. Yeah. So I'll bring it up in a few minutes. Yeah. So right now, bottom line is that there's about 80 million non-filers in America. People who work, and according to the IRS, they have a requirement to file income tax confession trap forms that they don't. Mm-hmm. So they're not in prison. What does that tell you? This idea they brainwash in our heads that if you don't file, you're going to go to prison, it's a bunch of hogwash. So the number of Americans not filing is increasing. For every two that files at 1044, one does not file at 1040 slavery form. So don't file anything today, folks.
And those are the people that should, that actually made income that would be fileable. In other words, these are not the people with no income. These are people that actually have income that would normally file under the false law, but now don't. Yeah. So.
Right. According to the IRS, back in 1996, there was 63 million people who IRS believed had a requirement to file a tax return based upon W-2 and 1099 information that was in possession of the IRS on their computers. So, yes. You know, the people, non-filers are all over the place, but they don't want you to know that because they don't want another free slave.
Yeah. What happens? I understand that you're saying there are a lot of people who haven't filed and they're not in prison, but what happens if they do come after you? Because that does happen, right? That's happened to you, hasn't it?
They come after people extremely rarely. Okay. And let me put it to you this way. Okay. Just because something can't happen, it doesn't mean it will happen. Mm-hmm. Every day in America, every year, about 50,000 people die in car accidents. Mm-hmm. Over 300,000 Americans get seriously injured in car accidents. Mm-hmm. Well, you could die when you drive your car today or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Does that mean you're not going to take that chance? Mm-hmm. So, of course you do. So the chance of the IRS coming after you as a non-filer is less than you dying in a car accident. So they really leave the vast majority alone anyways. And in fact, in 2017, IRS started the collapse. Actually, 2011, a collapse of IRS started. They've been getting worse and worse and worse. And now the IRS collections by force, which are almost all against filers, is down by over 90%. And because they cannot keep up with filers that confess to the IRS money, they have nearly completely stopped going after non-filers because that takes a lot of time, energy, and money to go after non-filers. Files are far more, over 100 times more profitable for the IRS to go after filers versus non-filers.
And what about, have you heard that they're talking about using AI in the IRS?
Sure. Yeah. More propaganda, more lies. You know, you cannot just, just use AI. Oh, it's the latest fashion. IRS uses AI. Be scared. Whoa! IRS got AI to catch you. It's all a bunch of lies. Here's what's going on. IRS system was built in 1960s based upon COBOL and assembly language.
I love that part.
COBOL. And since 1980s, they have repeatedly tried to set a deadline and update their computer technology to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
They keep putting it off and putting it off for mm-hmm. decade after decade.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, IRS had announced that the updating the computers, an individual master file, which is the brain of the IRS computers, the 2030 date they had set, they're going to abandon that date. Now they have no date to update it.
Mm.
So what is this talk about AI? It's just a bunch of nonsense, mm-mm. propaganda lies as usual. They cannot even update the computers. How do they merge that with AI, with collapsing the whole thing? That's not the issue.
Mm.
The issue is ours is a failing agency with antiquated computers. We outnumber them
mm-hmm.
10 million to one tax court judge. Mm-hmm. It's only 31 U.S. tax court judges. So there's no way they can come after all of us anyways. But don't worry. The major media, the Wizard of Oz, mm-hmm. will have to be scared of the big bad IRS. Because all the CPAs, experts on the media says, file your return even if you don't have the money, so you don't pay more penalty and interest. That's all. Is there a bluff? They're falling down. If people go to freedomlawschool.org on our website, they'll see that for themselves.
Hmm.
All the documentation is there.
Hmm.
You know, I was going to show you. I was trying to find this. You know, I called you guys one time because I said, you know, I have to, I'm an affiliate. I get paid by other people and they want me to sign a W-9 form.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to do that. And it's really interesting. The W-9 form taught me a lot of stuff because on the front of the form, and maybe I can just, without showing my social security number here, I'll show it to you here. But anyway, they, you know, they have this W-9 form and you're, I don't know if you can see it. You're supposed to fill it out and sign it, right? But it says on the front, on section, on part two, it says certification. Under penalties of perjury, I certify that, you know, so now I've learned because I've gone through his courses is the number on the tax form is correct. Okay. You have to give them your tax number. That's fine. Mm-hmm. It says, and I'm not subject to backup withholding. That's fine. But the third one says I'm a U period S period citizen or other person defined below. Now that's where it gets a little, they're trying to get you mm-hmm. to convince them or to agree with their assertion that you're a member of this corporation that is, you know, scroll down there and that you're a resident of the District of Columbia, which is the home port of their corporation. But if you go to page four, there's another part. It says certification. And when you turn that on the back, it tells you what the four things are that need to be, why you need to sign the form. And it says right in here, it says you must give your correct tax identification number, but you do not have to sign the certification unless, and really the reason is, you know, you don't have to sign unless you've been notified that you've previously given an incorrect tax identification number. So again, it makes it sound like you have to do something under penalty of perjury and all this really scary stuff. But when you actually read it, no, you don't. And I've only had one, place that I used to do. I'm getting rid of them, but they would not accept that, even though I showed them the IRS law, the IRS codes themselves, not the federal law, but the IRS, their own codes say you don't have to sign a W-9. You know, but then you look at why, and it's exactly what Payman said. This is all about the scam of what DC really is, what the District of Columbia is really all about.
Well, that form you just said that. Lee, that is, as you are signing under penalty of perjury, under oath, that you are a United States person. But then when you go in the federal tax laws, read Internal Revenue Code Section 7701A, which has all the definitions, a United States person is someone who is a citizen or resident of the District of Columbia.
Exactly.
So that's what you're saying. Well, yeah. How are you lying under oath against yourself?
Yeah. but you've agreed to it. And so by the law of assumption, I guess, if you don't deny that that point, then you are in fact that, you know, they if you assert that, if you sign here, you're actually signing that you agree with that, which I won't do.
So then what does somebody do? How do they get around that?
Well, I signed the form. I just put instead of signature, what you'll see, it says no signature required per section 2, number 5. And I sign it. And like I say, I've never had a problem except with one probably deep cabal corporation, which I've decided that's kind of a trigger. To me, this is kind of a test. If they don't understand this, I don't want to deal with them.
So you signed it, but you didn't sign
one section?
You don't sign it at all.
Where it says to sign it, I put in the IRS code. I say per section, you know, no signature required per section 2, number 5. And I just...
Well, the manual says that. Yeah. What Lee just read was the instructions that the IRS gives for W-4 says you don't have to sign it. Mm-hmm. So you can tell the company, look, why don't you read the IRS's instructions on the form?
Right.
They're so ignorant. They just think, oh, we got to be slaves of the IRS. I was going to be in trouble. That's what the problem is.
Well, it's like the Stalinist terror tactic. He would pick out people random from the phone book, essentially, and have them murdered so that everybody had to live in fear. Strikes me as the IRS. In fact, the only time I ever got audited and had to pay a penalty, which was a big penalty for me at the time, I was a resident in orthopedics. And literally, I mean, I had done something that was apparently, in my opinion, it looked like it was correct. And people that helped me with the taxes in those years, they told me it was correct. When I went to my IRS appointment, let's say the pre-jail theory, I went and talked to them. The first IRS reviewer said, I don't see the problem with your return. Well, that's interesting. The second level reviewer said, we don't see a problem with your return. But the third level person said, no, that's not right. You have to pay $10,000. Now, I was making $55,000 a year as a resident years ago and as an orthopedic surgeon. And I had to pay $10,000 that year.
Wow.
For something that even the IRS agents couldn't figure out. So, and later in my life, having dealt with the United States federal government, the F might stand for something else. In Medicare, that's the way it is. That's what Medicare does to doctors. You are so afraid of getting tapped by Medicare. And when I left medicine, there were 174,000 pages of Medicare regulation. And if you make a mistake, they never consider it an error. It's always fraud. Right. And so they literally go to you and strong arm you and say, you know, doctor, you know, we've calculated based on this one error and looking at the number of charts you have, we calculate that you owe us $1.6 million. But if you just pay us $90,000 cash, we'll be OK with that and we'll go away. And then you, though, here's what you have to do. You have to sign a deal that you agree never to talk about this in public. I never had this happen to me, but the reason I never had it happen to me is I voluntarily undercharged, you know, in other words, what they want you to do is be so afraid of that, that you will go below what you're actually serving. And that was pretty low to begin with. Yeah. It's the same thing with it. So when I started hearing you about taxes, I said, wait a minute, I've kind of seen this play before. And that's a civilian. To your point, Courtney, that isn't the federal agents that come after you with Medicare fraud.
Right. Okay.
It is a private corporation. It's called the RAC or the something. It's like reclamation. It's like federal reclamation, but they're contractors.
Right.
And they're bullies.
Bullies, yeah, definitely. I'm curious about PMAs. Like, a lot of people are doing that now, private membership association. Do you have any thoughts on that? And
sure. PMAs is a private membership association by its name. Mm-hmm. It is an association of a bunch of people that banded together. For example, a mom soccer league for a bunch of soccer moms. Mm-hmm. These 20 women put money in there. They buy, you know, jerseys and shoes and goalposts and balls. And after, let's say, 3-4 years, when they disband, whatever's left over is distributed between the mothers, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the private membership association is. It's something that all the members of the group own. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people, by mistake, they create an entity and call it PMA, and then but it's owned by one person. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. By definition, this is supposed to be owned by a bunch of people, okay? Not by one person. So it's not really a PMA. So, but the reason it works is because IRS has stopped going after non-filers. IRS has never had any program to go after corporations that do not file. IRS does not go after, you know, PMA, private membership associations, hardly ever. IRS basically no longer goes after people with W-2 or 1099 forms. Not the automated way. From independent offices of the IRS, once in a while somebody comes after you. But the major IRS offices like Ogden, Utah, that used to by mass send out letters to non-filers, they stopped that program.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the thing for everybody to know.
And that's interesting. You said that they don't generally go after corporate non-filers. I'm surprised at that.
Yeah, because they assume that corporations file. And the thing is, yeah, so only running things through a corporation is really, practically speaking, is one way to be invisible, because IRS has never had any program organized whatsoever to check on a corporation if they file or not. I had one of my friends from out of the country says, Paymon, I've never filed for my corporation, ever. Never hear from the IRS. My friends, they file for the corporation and they get audited. I told them, well, that's real easy because they don't even know you exist. You don't file nothing. There is no audit. If the IRS wants to come after a non-filer, they have to create a dummy return on their computers with zeros on there. Then they have to say, oh, you did not report the 50 or 200,000 on your W-2 or 1099 form. Somebody told us about it. And then come after you that way. But other than that, there is, they cannot audit you. But with a filer, it's automatically an audit. I help people all the time who want to become a non-filer with Freedom Law School. And I can help them with their filing year problems they got because they get audited. Hmm. Well, if they never filed with the IRS, they probably would have never heard from the IRS to begin with.
Yeah. So when you get like, okay, so are they actually pursuing, though? You said that they sometimes send out these letters. They sometimes pick on a corporate thing and they make this false. They make their own return. Now, they couldn't have signed it for us. So technically, we didn't sign it. We didn't agree to that.
Right. But they do that for the dumb computers. That's what they do. But in 2017, Lee, the IRS stopped doing that because IRS is so understaffed. Right. Their forced collection or levies are down by over 90%. Think about that. Any business that has gone down by 90%, they'll be out of business.
Yeah,
but from 3.7 million levies of bank account to paychecks, they've gone down now, 2022, to about only 200,000.
Yeah.
Now so I have no resources to help others.
Sorry, I heard that the and maybe you told me, but there, I heard that they you know, this they put out this news blurb. Oh, they hired 87,000 new agents, and they're going to have guns.
Yeah, Project Adrian.
Is that all? And I assume that's all narrative.
That's all narrative by Fox and News and all these other so-called conservative major media liars. What it is IRS is losing employees fast due to retirement. Over a third of their employees are going to be gone because of retirement in the next few years. So in order for the IRS to avert imminent collapse, they funded the IRS to hire 8,700 employees for 10 years. That's where they get that 87,000 number, not right now, in 1 year. Mm-hmm. And the vast majority of these employees are simply clerks. typing in your tax information that's on your paper return on their computers, or answering the phone calls. In fact, the main reason IRS is bound on collections, you would not believe this, but it's true, is because they do not have enough agents to answer your phone call when they levy your bank account a paycheck to make a payment plan. Seriously, that's according to Treasury audit, U.S. Treasury auditors.
How about the COBOL? Are they, have they, do they have a few like 95-year-old guys in the basement that are still running their computer system? I mean, I hadn't heard about COBOL since I was in college in 1969. I swear to God, that's ancient. I don't know when COBOL came out, but it was a long time ago.
It came out in the 60s. In 1980, I took a computer class. I learned about COBOL. And again, their mainframe computer, the individual master file, the brain of the system, is still running on COBOL, which they haven't taught in computer schools for well over 20 years. Right. So they're losing these programmers, this antiquated language that no one knows how to operate anymore, which is why the IRS announced in 2023, they're not going to update it. It's going to die of its own pain, just like the Soviet Union collapse slowly started in late 1960s, 70s, and by the late 80s, it was obvious. And by 1991, the whole thing collapsed. Same thing's going to happen to the IRS.
Wow. So there. So this goes back to Courtney's question about AI. Why couldn't AI take it over?
Right.
Because, you know, because you cannot just switch everything to AI. You got to take the existing system and convert it and pass all the data available to this AI or whatever system it is. Mm-hmm. You cannot transfer everything to a new computer system. You know, there's a way to do that, but it's very hard. Because you cannot take trillions and trillions of data, information, and switch it to a new system. If they could have, they would have done it. Over the last 50 years, they've tried to do it. They could not do it. So this is just more propaganda by the media.
Wow. I mean, it's crazier than you think, but it really is illusion. It's really the idea that we... You know, and it's this in this time, it's computer language, but the idea we had Jason Ian on talking about, legal reality and how you, it's the words, you speak it into existence and you say it enough and then people believe it.
Mm-hmm. Well, just like the corona hoax, Lee, you know, there's no such thing as the coronavirus. It's never been scientifically isolated or proven to exist. Mm-hmm. So what did they do? They created a hoax. They used a PCR test, which was never created to find a virus to begin with. They give you these false positives because it looks for some genes that we have in all of our bodies. And if this, it says you have these genes, oh, you're positive. You got the flu, but the test says it's COVID. Yeah. So now if you believe the lie, the doctor or nurse told you that you have COVID. And based upon that, they put these fake numbers on Fox and MSNBC news screens all the time. Oh, the COVID cases we got. And then the hospital gets paid when the cause of death is COVID. The spouse gets paid when the cause of death on the death certificate is COVID. The hospital gets paid when they put you on a ventilator. Everybody gets paid. And the media puts those fake numbers on there, even though you actually died of liver disease, cancer, heart attack. Everybody gets paid if you call it COVID. So they create this false narrative about this pandemic that's going to kill all mankind. And same thing with the IRS, except with the IRS, the lies have been drummed into our head for many more decades So it takes longer to deprogram people of the lies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. True. Yeah.
Yeah.
What are the people leaving the IRS? Now, see, you said they paid these people in the hospital. Why are they not overpaying IRS agents to become the IRS militia? They just decide they're going to use the WHO instead. I mean, you know.
Well, IRS, you know, who wants to work for a tax agency, Lee? Think about it.
Right.
You know,
right.
Does anybody grow up in school at the fifth grade say, someday I'll be a tax collector? That's my dream.
I get it.
You know, so they hire whoever that they can get off the street that needs a job to pay the bills. And on top of that, not only they cannot get competent people that would otherwise have their own business or work in a private productive company, but the good people leave.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The incompetent ones stay. And you cannot fire people in the federal government. It is so hard to fire federal employees. It's easier it's more likely for the person to die as an IRS agent than to be fired.
Wow.
So these incompetent people stay, you cannot fire them, and they get paid the same dollar, no matter how bad of a job they do. So they don't work. And on top of that, they are now politically correct, LGBTQ plus friendly. So if you're a black female that claims to be a man, they want you because they get three of these LGBTQ, you know, quotas, not competency. So it's great. Hire all these incompetent LGBTQ plus people you want because they're not going to do any work. Mm-hmm. So why are people afraid of these incompetent people? I know why. Because it deceived you into signing that 1044 under oath that it is all true, correct, and complete. You put the rope around your neck and give it to the IRS.
Yeah.
That's how you give the IRS the power to destroy you. You tell them under oath you owe the money, and now they can take your bank account and put you in prison. If you stop signing those 1040 forms, you're on your way to freedom already. And it's all on our website, freedomlawschool.org, for free. And if people want to, we also have a Restore Freedom Plan to protect people 100% from any and all IRS attacks completely. And at the same time, use those funds to restore freedom in America, like you've done, Lee.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to tell you, it also, the other point here is that you get help when you needed it. I mean, you know, like the W-9, I didn't know how to do that. You guys taught me how to do that. The other one is my husband called up, you know, because he was still, it took us years to come to this. You know, you can hear this, but you got to get it in your heart. And I'll tell you what really got in my heart. I was down at Red Pill, and this was the year that I first heard you speak, but I didn't jump on this because, you know, I'd been afraid for 30 years about the IRS. You know, I'd been tapped a long time ago. That was in 1986 or something. But I was really afraid to do anything. But there was a guy that was kind of a big money guy, and we were all sitting around, and G. Edward Griffin was there, and it was kind of one of the last days, and we're all sitting around a table in the lounge in the hotel and listening to some talk. And maybe you were there talking, but anyway, I leaned over to this guy and I said, "Are you doing this?" And he just looked at me and he said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "I haven't paid taxes for a while." He says, "Morally, I just can't give these psychopaths my money anymore." You know, and that, you know, that is what really hit me, is that this is not just about your finances. This is about who you're going to actually fund. And do you really want to fund the deep state anymore? Do you really want to fund these guys? Because, I mean, unfortunately, now they're desperate and they're funding themselves as they always have with body parts and human trafficking and things like that. But at least you're not giving the money to them. You know, that is a big point here. This is like renouncing your United States Inc. citizenship. You know, it may not have big consequences in some big realm, you know, of life overtly, But when you do that, you just feel better. And so when my husband, when we didn't know what to do about his withholding taxes, when we finally decided, okay, we're in on this. And we called up your guys and they said, oh, just do this, fill out the W-2 like this. And so he did it. And I remember my husband going down to his you know, university job. And he said, this is not going to work. I said, just do what they said. Let's try, you know, just give it to HR. And remember, HR doesn't care. They just got to get a little check in the box, right?
Yeah.
But it was almost like the speed of light. This might have happened almost as fast as I got a paper rejected about COVID. You know, it was just so fast. Anyway, what happened is suddenly he got a bigger paycheck. They never questioned it because they have a law school. They know what's really going on. You know, so it's pretty interesting. The things you would think would be difficult turn out to be when you identify the target and you do it right, they know what you're doing and they don't bug you.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And bottom line is that, you know, they are afraid of you waking up.
Yeah.
Okay. Because they know their power that they got over you is the power they got over your mind, like in the Matrix. Okay. It's a matrix of lies for your mind. Myself, for example, I have not filed and paid any income tax for over 30 years. IRS knows about it, and I'm not in prison. How come? You know, I've not broken any laws. That is why. And I've been teaching Americans for over 30 years to do the same. Do not file and pay income tax. Legally, you're fine. You are safe. We just got to stop being afraid of our public service. And the only way to do it is by going to our website, freedomlawschool.org. There are 7 steps to free yourself of IRS deception, fear, robbery, and slavery. What they do, Lee, with lies and deception, they make you scared. Yeah. Now they get you to take the corona jab. They get you to put the rope around your neck on that 1040 form, and you're the slave or they kill you. So if people go to our website, freedomlawschool.org, they all can stop withholding of income tax on their paychecks for free.
Yeah.
So I do want to just address something because you differentiated that you have not paid income tax. But that does not mean necessarily like state tax, property tax, right? You can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. The Calvin franchise tax board, I paid them back in 96, mm-hmm. About $200, and that was it. They're very aggressive. But yeah, I've not filed or paid federal income tax or payroll taxes well over 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, my state tax, for example, is a subsidy of the federal tax. I mean, they just, if you don't pay federal tax, you don't pay state tax. And that's true for a lot of states.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Most states follow federal tax laws. If you don't owe any federal income tax,
right,
you don't owe any state income tax either.
Right.
Like that might be a way of testing your state to see if they're truly independent or if they're just a toady of the federal government deep state is whether or not they do that. That might be, I never thought of that, but it helps in this way. But on the other hand, you know, yeah,
that's true.
Well, on our computer system, on our website, we're going to put this stuff out there, but right now our students, you know, we help them if there's a state issue also. Which states are required to file income tax? Only Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Alabama, Arkansas, and Mississippi have a system separate from the federal tax system. But anyhow, I got to get going for my next interview at the top of the hour, Lee. It was a pleasure. Yeah. Thank you for having me again on your show. It's always a great fun to be there on your program. It's really wonderful. You do a great job for people. People call me, they say they heard us on Lee, Dr. Lee Merritt. And yeah, so we got some good news on that. Lee, call us later on this week. We'll tell you about some of your referrals, okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. My pleasure, guys.
Yeah. I noticed that Red Pill Expo, my picture's on it. I just want to know.
Yeah, it's still there.
Are you going to invite me? I just want to know.
We're going to have to figure that out. So,
yeah. I'm planning on driving up there. Yeah, there I am. It's an old picture.
You are.
They just forgot.
They're using your name for promotion, but they have not contacted you. I think they think you're coming. So we're going to start through that.
Maybe I'm that robot in the bottom. They just don't think I need an actual invitation. So we'll, but anyway, June 17th, that weekend is the Red Pill Expo.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So hopefully we will all be there and we'll set up a booth. That would be awesome.
Well, I have to ask you now, payment's gone. How did the eclipse go?
Oh, it was incredible. Yeah, it was really beautiful. And we had, so I guess it was maybe a little over 4 minutes of the totality. Wow. And I'm a scaredy cat because when I was a little kid in school, I wasn't in the totality. But they, of course, you know, told us that if we look up, we're going to go blind.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think you're really not supposed to look up if it's not totality, though. So I don't think you go blind if you just look up quickly, but I don't think you're supposed to stare at it if it's not in the totality.
Well, you're not supposed to stare at the sun either. But, you know, I just kept thinking about this. I talked to my own podcast people about this. I said, there was an optometrist on, says, oh, no, you don't look up because your pupils dilate and blah, blah, blah. But your pupils dilate relative to the lack of light. They constrict when there's more light.
Sure.
That shouldn't change during an eclipse. I do sun gazing every day, and I have pilot friends that are doing sun gazing every day, and everybody's eyesight seems to be getting better, not worse. I mean, I don't need my reading glasses anymore. So here's the question I have about anybody that thinks there's something special about the eclipse.
Remember,
nobody can stare at anything. You're not supposed to stare. If I went out and stared at the sun for an hour, I'd damage my eyes. Just like if I went out in my little lily white skin and I laid out in the sun for 10 hours without any sunscreen or not, you know, shade or anything, of course I'm going to get burned. But if you do it reasonably,
I don't think it's,
somebody said that, well, they think the light rays are different in eclipse. No, they're not.
No, I don't think it is.
If we really do have a round ball that we're on and the moon is a round ball, the sun is a long ways away. It has nothing to do with the sun. It has to do with the moon alignment. Well,
I think it's also, I don't think it's that it's different. I think it's just that people are so fascinated that you're more likely to stare at it directly for a long time.
Maybe, but that's just interpreting, you know, that they make it sound like there's something magic about this that you had to, I mean, look at when we were kids, I had a totality over the house when I was in the 60s, when I was a little kid, and they made us make these little pinhole lenses, these like pinhole cameras, and you saw it indirectly. Really? You know, the funny thing is, I was live streaming. No, we didn't have much of an eclipse at all where I was, but it was still, it got cool for a minute and then it kind of warmed up.
Cool.
But I put my phone on it. I could see it perfectly in the phone. You know,
that's awesome.
I just put it over my shoulder and so it didn't damage the camera. It's not different light waves. I'm just saying, I just felt like there's some reason that they don't want you to look directly.
I think there is some reason. I don't know what that
even
is.
Even for a few seconds, did either of you guys look directly at it?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, I looked at it. So we did have the glasses. So when it was not in the totality, like, of course, it got dark. It didn't get dark as dark as I expected. Like, he told me that it did get dark when he saw it in 2017, that it got darker. I think part of it's the angle, I think. But part of it, I also think, is all the chemtrails. We saw like a trident. I mean, it was just like stripes of chemtrails that they were making that morning. It was crazy how many chemtrails I saw. So I think that's part of it. So it's a little hazy, but it didn't get completely dark, but it did get darker, definitely got cold. And I had the glasses. So when it was, you know, in the process, I did look up at it, you know, with the glasses. But then when it was in the totality, I looked up, you know, without
anything.
Box. Yeah.
Okay. And you didn't see any spaceships or alien presences?
I did see a red dot, and I heard that was a solar flare. It was like a red dot at the bottom. I mean, for me, it was the bottom right corner. And it was definitely all three of us who were there saw it. And it was definitely like a red dot. And it had almost, for me, I saw almost like a little bit of a streaking on it.
Now, where was the red dot relative to the black center of the blackout? You know, you have the corona around it, and you have the center of the black.
You see, it was right, like kind of on the ball, but it was on the bottom right corner for me.
But on the black dot, on the blackout area. Okay, so now theoretically, that can't be the sun because you're looking at the moon at that point. Theoretically, that's the moon's blockage.
Yeah.
So I wonder what you saw. And I wonder, now my son was down where there was 80% or 75%. And he said he had no chemtrails. I had no chemtrails. In fact, it was one of the most beautiful sky days we've had all summer.
Really?
Now we're back to this normal crap.
Oh.
So I'm wondering if all the chemtrail planes were they were busy working the
I think where we had fatality. Yeah.
Yeah, the whole stripe across America. I bet they were busy working that. I mean, there's something. Okay, so that's interesting. People saw a red dot.
Yes.
Within the black circle, the black orb, which should be.
I mean, it was really, that's hard to say because it's, you know, theoretically it's so far away, right? So, but it was definitely on the corner and on the bottom. It would be hard for me to say whether
it wasn't out in the corona. But the point is, it's either in the corona or it's in the black area.
But that's what I'm saying. Just because it was so far away, it's hard for me to say whether or not it was in the corona. That's kind of hard for me to say.
Yeah.
It was definitely on the bottom corner, though. Okay. It wasn't like in the middle or.
Interesting.
So yeah, there it's not on the, for me, it was like when I looked at it, it was a little bit lower, but I guess, yeah, you can kind of see it right there.
Oh, that little, it's like at 3 o'clock.
Yeah. There it looks like it's at 3 o'clock. I mean, when I looked at it, I thought it was lower.
Yeah, that could be.
It might just be the angle I was looking. Yeah.
Yeah. But you shouldn't see anything overlying the black, I guess is what I'm saying.
Right. But see there, that's what I'm saying.
Send me that picture. I want to blow it up and look at it.
Okay. I'm just saying like there, it's hard to say whether that's in the corona or not. Like it's a little, I don't know. It's hard for me to say. But it definitely,
I'll have to look and see if other people with telescopes have seen that and if they have, they say anything about it.
Well, when we started looking into it, there were people saying it was a solar flare. So I'm not saying that's accurate. I'm just saying that means that.
Right. And that's and one of the points, as we know, about predictive programming.
There you go.
Yeah. But now, see, that's not quite at 3 o'clock.
No.
Where that little dot was.
The picture's turned, though.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So it could be, but it's interesting because, you know, what is predictive programming? It's to convince you of things. When you see them, you interpret them in a certain way. That's
of course,
one of the
points. We see it through our lens, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I've heard, and I don't know that I buy this. I mean, I definitely agree. The sun is getting a lot more white. It's not like yellow. We've talked about this too, right?
Yeah.
But I've seen these theories that there's like a simulation, that the whole eclipse was simulated and that there's like a hexagonal mirage of the sun that's projecting. That's why it's white, like LED lights, and that the whole eclipse was a simulation. I don't quite buy that. I'm not saying
there's actually programs out there talking about
that. There are
that.
Programs, yeah.
And I can't remember the name of it. It's a military type program.
Yes, there
it
is.
It talks about this. It's a little creepy. I just ran across that myself.
I know.
What do they call it? And they have, and it has some kind of like psychobabble name. I can't remember, but it sounds like it's like occult. It's like occultic programming or something like that. It's the idea that you can make false eclipses, and it has to do with occultic programming. I don't know if I can find that real quick, but that's I can't remember the name. I should have written that
simulator.
Down.
I know.
Maybe a cultic simulator or something like that. It was a weird name, and I thought, wow, that makes me actually believe this is going on.
That's
like why I have my new quote. I'm too insane to explain. You're too normal to understand. I think that's probably
hilarious.
True. Did you find it?
What? Oh, that's the chemtrail.
That's the one that's across.
Yeah, I mean.
That's not, it's not the full.
No, but it's up.
The up and down,
We saw one show that,
We didn't get a picture of the ones that are like straight across, but we did get this, So the chemtrails were insane that day. I mean, they were.
They were really trying to keep people, for some reason, I think, from. Either they're, you know, the best news could be that they're blocking something they know is damaging at the time of the eclipse. Okay, that could be. Maybe this is a war against humanity and that's something really evil. On the other hand, it's now what's the, that's just a dot on your lens or something in the top left there. But the other question is, is it to protect us or is it to keep us from watching something that they don't want us to see? That's really the only question. And then the other thing is, or did they want everybody to show up for this eclipse so they could poison people with bioweapons? That's another theory moving around. That's why we don't see it yet, but we're not that far past the eclipse. Hang on, it might be making people sick in the long term. I'm not necessarily buying that, although I was in the Navy when they did the tests where they popped up submarines along the coast of California and put out things like Serratium Marcescens. And I wasn't read in the program, so I'm not revealing anything I didn't learn on that. But I learned that from a friend of mine who was on one of those submarines, who's now dead. But he said, we did that. There's no question that they did that. It's like, okay, why? The world is crazier than we think. So there's people. Yeah, I still think I'm hopeful that we're coming out of this. But that's something more. There's more to say, I think, about this last eclipse.
There are definitely people very invested in some sort of like, you know, occult rituals.
Yeah, there's
going on. Yeah. And the occult really do believe that it's like, you know, a ominous sign, and they worship it. Like they're very invested. So I've no doubt that there's some sort of ritualistic practices were occurring at the time, but I don't know. I really, the whole idea that the whole thing was a simulation, that's hard for me to wrap my head around. I'm not saying it's not possible, but I mean, I was there.
Yeah.
So and what I saw was pretty incredible. So I don't know. I mean, anything's possible, I suppose, but it's not like the moon landing where, you know, I just watched it on TV, you know, like I actually saw with my own eyes. I looked up and I didn't have goggles on or anything. And I saw, you know, I saw something I've never seen before. So again, we have movie magic. So I'm not saying,
I know it's really hard to know. The idea that we're in a simulation, I think is true, but it may not be it's not the Matrix maybe. I mean, it's something else. We're in a false reality, but how much of it is false and how much is real is what we're arguing about.
Right. That's we're really definitely in the false. I mean, I've been going down like these rabbit holes of like, it's, you know, just like studying, you know, kind of ancient philosophy, and really not even just ancient, but like the threads throughout history. And they're every rock you turn, it's tied to the occult and to these secret societies. We sound crazy when we say it, but it's like, I remember when I told you I had that like theory that Hegel was a part of the Illuminati. I mean, he was definitely connected to all of these secret societies and his mentor, and he was totally a theosophist, like he was a mystic. Yeah.
And Hegel's a philosopher. We kind of get that. What I'm finding is exactly the same thing with major scientists. Now, I'll tell you what I did today for my podcast tonight, because I always on Monday nights, you've been on, I do a meme run. So it's a lot of funny, things.
Awesome.
And to music and people watch it. But now I'm starting to, when I research something and find something interesting after the meme run and before we have the guest on, I do like a 15, 30 minute or 30 second kind of look at what I just found. Okay. So here's what I've started noticing. When I started realizing the false story about viruses what's the chance, number one, that the guy that is the all of modern virology rests on this guy's research, and he just happens to be a Scroll and Key Society member from Yale? I'm just the coincidence of that just bothers me. However, then I started thinking, well, what about other scientists? You know, one of the patterns that they do, and this is kind of what you're talking about, is why do we know so much about some people and other people are doing great work we don't know anything about? So they pushed Einstein out, for example, in the news. He was everywhere. If you ask somebody on the street, give me the name of a famous physicist, famous theoretical physicist, who are they going to tell you? Most people are going to say Albert Einstein. That's what they learned in school, and that's the picture. So I decided to go back and see, what do we really know here? Okay, we know there's a paper with his name on it, but what we know about him is, just like Klaus Schwab is so compelling, we're forced to look at this guy all the time. Like everybody knows who Klaus Schwab is. How many people know who Pepe Orsini is, who's really the big dangerous guy? Nobody knows who he is. And I'll just say, I found out Tom Cruise is an Orsini. Okay. It's in every aspect of the world. There's a family of big people, and they kind of run the show, or their big position.
Thread. It's like a five-part series on Sasha Stone being connected to Orsini.
Yeah, I mean, the Orsini family. Right. And see, they're looking at the Rothschilds, but we're not looking at the Orsinis, which are really
or the Medici's, or I mean, there's so many of these families.
Right. So look at Einstein. What do we know about Einstein? So I started realizing, and I started saying, let me see if I can find a lecture by Einstein. I want to see what he really, because you see the picture of his tongue hanging out. It's kind of like a Klaus Schwab moment. He's got the tongue hanging out. He's got the hair all over.
The mad scientist.
In other words, right. He's like too much of a caricature. What is he really? You know, I cannot find a movie. I cannot find a film of him actually giving a scientific lecture.
Really?
Now, in fact, try and find a picture. If you show that picture of Einstein with the tongue hanging out and the hair, I mean, that's everybody has that burned into your brain. Just like we have that coronavirus blue ball that isn't a virus at all, burned into your brain.
Right.
We have that picture of Einstein being the mad scientist, so brilliant, we don't understand him, this whole relativity, we don't. Okay, so he should, but the only video I can find of him actually lecturing, it's less than 3 minutes long, and he's reading the script. And when he reads it, he stumbles over his own equation, E equals MC squared. It's like he's reading language like he's an actor, and actors don't read a lot of science, so he's kind of reading it funny. Okay, now I know it's a foreign language tone. Yeah, their picture. You always see that picture, okay? And you see other pictures of him with the tongue out and his hair all wild. It's like there's more than one picture of the tongue. So what's going on here? Well, then I said, okay, but he was a physicist, you know, during the war, like in the 30s and 40s and 50s. Now let's see if I can find. So I looked up Richard Feynman, also really a brilliant physicist, right, from Caltech. No problem. He's got lectures all over the place, black and white, old films.
Favorite quote that there are many questions that cannot be answered, but there are no answers that cannot be questioned.
That's right. I love that quote. I didn't know that one of him. But anyway, but you see him taking a piece of chalk and just going over. In fact, so tonight I'm showing a video of Einstein reading this thing, the script. Then I'm showing you a picture of Feynman at a Cornell University lecture where he actually gets up on a blackboard and shows you in real English, in standard English, so people can understand it, what relativity really is telling you. And then he gets into the mathematics and talks about nuclear decay, and he's starting to put more, you know, actual physics on the board. Why do we never see that from Einstein? Okay, then you've got to ask yourself, why is it, you know, he supposedly taught at Princeton. I'd like to know if there's anybody out there that actually went to his lectures when he wasn't reading the lecture. I just want to know that. Could he go to a blackboard and prove what he came up with, how he did it? See, and I'm going to tell you, I think we're going to find a bunch of science was created for us by the same method they're creating predictive programming.
Well, I absolutely think so. I mean, so much of science is tied to the occult, and we know that the occult group runs so much. So my friend, Matt Arrett, he's doing a 12-part series, and he hasn't released the full series. But he might be very interesting to bring on, and I think he would be really up for it. I mean, I can't speak for him, but I'll ask. But he's doing this series on the occult ties to some of the scientists like Newton and Tesla, and how they utilize these people. And I don't want to spoil the end because it's a long series. But he does show some of, you know, I think he's released a part 4 or 5 so far, but it's a 12-part series. And he ties like Newton to Rosicrucianism. And so I think he talks about, and I know like Descartes, for instance, I mean, he was more of a mathematician, right? He was a geometrician, but he was definitely, we know that he was a Pythagorean. And so he was tied to like a, you know, that those are the ancient mystery schools. Like these are occult groups. And Descartes is and this is a philosopher, but he was tied to these ancient, you know, scientific and mathematic occult groups. And I think it's no different today. It's just
I think you're right.
Yeah.
And here's one, the name of the new, when the Germans combined with the English after World War II to make the biggest, that's funny, make the biggest scientific publishing house in the world. Mm-hmm. What did they name it? They named it Pergamon Press. What is Pergamon? Pergamon in the Revelation is the seat of Satan. Why would you name the world's largest publishing house for medical scientific literature the seat of Satan? Okay.
Yep.
And you know, it's just like crazy. I was trying to find, I also have a thing about Einstein. Let me see if I can find it real quick. This is the thing about Einstein and his...
It was kind of like the UN and their Lucius Trust. It was literally called Lucifer Publishing.
They don't even hide it. Did you see the picture recently of Tulsi Gabbard doing the Illuminati sign?
No, I haven't, but we're going to vote our way out of this,
right?
Let the plan of love and light work out. Light of Lucifer.
Here's how... Here's a couple things. Number one is that, you know how they make in today's occult societies, like if you're going to be a player in Hollywood. Now, I'm not saying this is with the real top dogs, but with if you want to be a player in Hollywood, this notice how like Charles Barkley just came out in a dress in an ad. There's a thing, and maybe it's just the black actors, but there's something about the one of the black comedians I think was saying this. If you're going to be a star in Hollywood, at some point you have to get a picture taken, if you're a man, in a woman's dress and in a bathtub with money over you, something like that. Well, here's a so I've got a picture of Einstein. Einstein was kind of had there's multiple pictures of Einstein wearing women's shoes, for example, and he married his cousin. Okay, it's just it's right out of what this these occult families do. Yeah, there it is. And there's Tulsi Gabbard, and we think we can vote our way out of this.
Oh, yeah. Okay. No. Wow.
So, yeah, you're right. A cult, we should just, you and I, in different worlds, come up with all these examples of famous people tied to the occult and just go through them one day.
Let's do it. I'll start compiling a list and let's do it. Two shows on theosophy, and you know, I don't have like the as much of the background from the occult or biblical kind of, you know, the religious framework, but I do have the philosophical and the geopolitical references, and you it's every stone you turn, and it that's what they're building for the future. I mean, this AI world society is it's all about building a one world religion, and the religion is theosophy, and it's because they include everybody, right? They say like all religions are welcome. All where have we heard that before, right? The Masons say that too, and it's because this is a great way. It's a good honeypot. We'll bring everybody in, and then we can steer them. And that's
and what you know where they say the one world religion headquarters is going to be?
Where?
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I believe it. It is so occult.
My son lives there.
I mean, it's so filled with all sorts of occult and Masonic references and symbols everywhere. I definitely believe that. That's really interesting, though.
Oral Roberts University.
Okay. And that's it. Where is that? That's in Tulsa.
I think they're closed now, but that was always rumored to have some deep MK Ultra ties and stuff. And if anybody's from Oral Roberts, I'm not saying that's every student. I'm not saying it's the university.
Sure, of course.
But it's like my university. University of Rochester got caught doing MK Ultra research in the psychiatry department. What? What does that really mean? In other words, it doesn't mean when we say these things, it's not like everybody's involved.
No.
You know, it's back to this whole Khazarian thing. It's not everybody's involved, but there are lines of travel that bring on, like the Masons. Not every Mason is a bad dude, but at some point there are bad guys within the Masons that are doing certain things, and everybody's got to realize that
the pyramid that says we the people.
Fermi. I mean,
that's the IRS.
That's the IRS building with that pyramid.
Wow.
Oh my God. That's the IRS building.
That's like right in your face.
And look at, see the capstone. That's like on our bills, but there's a very big,
I know, Novus Ordos, Novus Ordos Seclorum. Do you know what that means?
A new order, right there, baby.
It means new order for the ages.
New order, anyone?
Yeah, new order for the ages. That's what it means.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so disturbing. The other thing that I've been looking to, they're doing this Parliament of World Religions. It started at the World's Fair in Chicago in 1893. And then they did the centennial. They love their centennials. And that's in 1993 in Chicago. And now they're doing them annually. And it is so creepy. They're doing like religious ayahuasca ceremonies. They have Wiccans there.
See, I really
they're like we're legitimizing.
See this, but I don't want to get even near it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I want to learn about it, but I just don't, you know, don't get sucked in. It's like, don't go through the red door. Do not, do not get involved with this at all. Don't pick up a Ouija board. Don't say the wrong word.
Oh no. I was scared of Ouija boards.
They're capturing us by our language and our actions, and we don't want to participate in any of this. But I'd like to know where the next meeting's being held.
They they did one in 2023. I don't think they've done the 2024 one.
I don't wonder where it's going to be. Why don't you research that? Maybe we'll research that for a show.
Okay. Yeah. The Focus 2024. I'll have to see when it is.
And notice they use democracy. Okay. Because democracy is mob rule. It's not what we want, but they use the term democracy. We don't.
They hijacked it.
Yeah. We use representative government. You know,
yes.
There's a difference between a representative government republic. And a democracy. Yeah. A republic that's representative is not a democracy. In fact, better than a you know, one thing, I'm going to just say this in my closing here, global ethic. Oh, yeah. Yep. That you got to wonder about. You don't have to wonder about that. That's one of those phrases you love. But, you know, when people actually thought that they were born to rule, the divine right of kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
They actually took care of their people. Most of them actually took care of their people.
Yeah.
Because they felt personally responsible if bad things happened to their people.
Mm-hmm.
So you're almost that, you know, the joke that you're better off with a benign dictatorship, you're better off with a benign king because they're not going to be able to bribe people that really believe they have a calling from God to take care of these people.
Right.
Right. But it becomes anytime you have one guy involved, though, it can be taken over by other people. And then that's what happened to probably the British monarchy, by the way. I mean, I think that's what's happened around the world or the papacy or whatever, you know, if you name it. If you got a pyramid, you got a guy on the top, you're in trouble.
you're going to be in trouble. I mean, if all roads come to one point, you know,
so it's called
easier to control.
It's called the Parliament of the World's Religions every year.
Yeah, Parliament of World Religions. And they do it every year. And this is an affiliate. It's an NGO that's an affiliate of the UN, of course. They work with the UN. And this is part of because the UN wants to have a one world religion. They've talked about this. And this is, I think this is part of the conduit to do that. And so they bring in. They claim that it's about, you know, having this interfaith movement and they accept everybody. See, right here on the website, it says it's a 501c3 nonprofit organization. But I'm not here, but there was a part where it said that it was with the UN. Maybe if you scroll down, I think.
Yeah, they have a 2023 schedule, but they don't have a 2024 schedule.
I know. Yeah, the UN Messenger. It is part of the UN. I don't know where that says that, but it says it right on their website. So, yeah, and it's out of Chicago because the first one was in Chicago. And
they're not having it every year, I guess. That's the issue.
It says 2024 Parliament of World Religions. I don't know. I think they did register for 2024. I just don't know what year, what date.
Well, maybe we should call them and find out.
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
They can hex us over the phone, right? We can call them and find out.
And it is open. I think it is. There's from what I've heard, there's a lot of paperwork, but I'm pretty sure it's open to the public. It's not one of, they do have these interfaith movements that are more closed-doored, but this one, okay. I think it's pretty open.
What's that? Focus 24.
This is part of one of their things that they're doing.
Yeah, they don't say faith in.
No,
I don't want to tell you what their faith is in, but
I'm pretty sure it's
Focus 24 is a year-long series of integrated events inspired by the year of democracy.
Okay. There we go. Year of democracy.
God. Oh, commitment to working together with experts, because unless you worked with experts, you're wrong. I got that one.
Working with experts, that's technocracy, right?
Right, right.
They're building their AI world society. That's what they're gearing towards.
And, you know, just in general, when you read stuff like that, the language that they say, it's just this, it's just this incredible psychobabble kind of junk that you get out of, you know, you can read it and you can see what I'm talking about. It's not like, We're going to have a meeting about orthopedic hip surgery, or we're going to talk about the physics of magnetism, blah, blah, blah. It's not, you know, that's something you can put your hand around, but they have these long drawn out, you know, meaningless phrases, and you know you're in trouble when you get involved in that stuff. I mean, it's just like,
it's just marketing. Nonsense. I always say that I wish I had the marketing team of the UN's marketing team. Their marketing team is genius. So I know where it says it's part of the UN. It's right under where the about section at the bottom. Yeah, it says headquartered in Chicago, Illinois, USA. The Parliament of the World's Religion is an international 501c3 NG affiliated with the United Nations Department of Public Information.
Yeah. Oh, public. Yeah, good.
Public
good.
Information.
Well,
yeah.
Well. Good. Okay. Well,
but I'll look into finding out when the next one is. Maybe they don't have the meeting every year. I don't know. I'll look into it. Yeah, I know they had one. They did have one. I think I'm pretty sure in 2023.
That would be interesting to know.
I also saw, I think it was the guy that Patrick Wood had mentioned, Carl Hickman. I'm blanking on the last name, but he had mentioned him when we had him on. And I saw an interview with him. It was like a 14-minute interview talking, but he's been to several of these. And he was talking about how disturbing it is. And he goes down the list. I mean, I had made some notes on some things that he pointed out that were just.
And who is he again? Carl Hickman?
I believe he's a comparative religions, maybe, scholar? Oh, okay. That's it. Game of the Gods. Carl Tetrib, that's his name.
Okay.
Yeah, and he talks about how it's really it's spiritual politics, and that when we did the show on the Lucius Truss, I mean that seemed right on target, doesn't it?
There you go.
They're using it as a way to control people.
So the points that I made,
I'll just tell you, yeah. So the points that he talks about were. And these are all these theosophical concepts, the preaching, the oneness that he said that every event that he's been to, they talk about that. They talk about the Mother Earth. So this is the Gaia religion, right, that they use in order to push the climate crisis narrative. And that's the climate religion. But they keep talking about Mother Earth, and they have like a, you know, basically like worship to Mother Earth. And then they talk about the Aquarian Age. This is really big. And this is under the Lucius Truss. They talk about it too, how they want to usher in the Age of Aquarius. And this is all about the collective. It's all about, you know, the quote unquote greater good. And it's the antithesis. It's the polar opposite of the Leo, which is all about personal sovereignty, individualism, passion, individual emotions. So they want the opposite of that. Is what they're trying to usher in. And then what I talked about before with the ayahuasca and the Wicca religions and how they're giving it credibility because, you know, we have to be tolerant of everyone. So,
yeah. Anyway. Wow. Wow. So much to unpack. Okay. Well, next week we have Brad Carrington from Canada that's going to join us. And he's the guy that really got the freedom marches going when they were going to lock everybody down in Canada. And I thought it would be interesting to have him come and tell us what's happening in Canada now, because we're hearing some pretty draconian stories
totalitarian.
Right. Yeah. Right. What's going on. So that should be fun.
That'll be great. So, all right. So next week. And I think we've covered all the dangers for this week. And
stay dangerous.
Yes. Stay dangerous.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.